one vote if they had gotten one.
And I sort of wondered, maybe I should have seen somebody, I don't know whether it would have done any good, I mean, some people, I don't think so. Think it would have done any good.
He's passed this out in proof.
But what I was going to say is this, the key to ice steering rates, the sort of problem you've got. First of all, in the news, I'm sorry, their line is that the critics do not believe, first, that the North Vietnamese really will are going to wait until they see how the election come up, which is unbelievable. And second, that they don't believe that after the election, that we would get the critics on, that we would take a stronger line than Vietnam would take now, which is also what shows that the enormous influence of the left from the country turned around the hill up there. Let them fuck out. The other point is this. The critical one is that we're being caught in a crack here because the only way, I talked to the guys that we could have shifted one or two, was to indicate to them that something is going on in the negotiations that might be hopeful, you know, the thing that Bacon was pushing along.
Yeah.
Now, so here we are, we're caught in a crack where any sensible man knows goddamn well if we're talking that it's hopeful. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking. And second, on the other hand.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be talking.
That's right. That's right. That's what I was saying. We have a few of us. I mean, they break off, we break off. The other point is that, well, that in the private channel, that's what matters. The private channel that matters. The public, they may have 149 of them. I mean, the other point is that, on the one hand, we might win the vote by indicating that it was hopeful that they'd be making an army in the East Bank. On the other hand,
and you know, it's a human thing, isn't it?
this, let's be quite candid. Even if we had Nelson Rockefeller, Secretary of State, we couldn't let him in on this. You know that.
Because of
Nelson's a debriefer. I know Nelson, I'm quite
a good actor.
He said so.
Exactly.
He's not a leader, but he's a debriefer. He sits around with his staff.
No.
Now, we could tell Conley because he's such a conniver. You can tell Mitchell, but that's about the only two that I've ever told that haven't prevented that at all.
The President.
We don't even tell that.
And it's a phony argument. If they wanted to be partners, they should support UMAA's proposal. That way they could be partners. But to take a position different from our public position, and totally different from what's being negotiated, the one reason it won't do that much damage is because they're not that interested in getting our troops out anymore.
Well, the one main reason that really is reassuring to me is the Brooke Amendment. Remember, I asked you that question again, and I keep asking. Is exactly the thing that you say they're never going to accept because, frankly, if they get POWs for prisoners or for withdrawal, they give us the POWs to be withdrawn, they realize that they don't have orders, a hell of a weapon with which to get us to do other things.
But
the prices go up. They aren't willing to give up the POWs for withdrawal because the withdrawal is not their big problem at the present time. Suppose, let me put that case in another way. Suppose they say, we'll give you the POWs provided you stop bombing, stop mining, and withdraw. I agree with you. I just want to ask you what...
They want us to get rid of two.
There's the point. The point is, coming right down to it, they want us to do something politically that they cannot accomplish militarily.
They want us to stop to get rid of two, and they want us to stop military and economic aid to the South Vietnamese government. And until they...
That's in their proposal, too. They're in the business. That's the broad proposal. I know it's just about your withdrawal. That's right. They don't stop the aid, do they?
No.
They don't think.
So, I had even played with the idea that in September, Scott has a compromise proposal that strengthens the Brooke Amendment a little more. We might even let that damn thing through, depending on how the negotiation. If we are at the verge of breaking it up, that's a good way of doing it. Put some Senate proposal to them and then let them turn it, publicly let them turn it down.
I must say,
although this amendment, the Brooke Amendment, is impossible. That we can't do.
Well, the Brooke Amendment is wrong morally.
Yes.
For Christ's sake, to try to get out. It's a shocking measure of defeat. Yet you're not saying, look, we bought all this time just to get back the prisoners that they know.
The mistake we have made is that we haven't been tough enough on our opponents.
When I took the census pictures on there, I said the responsibility. And then I thought Goodall had a very clever thing. I mean, naturally, he was clever, but he was extending the 39 votes for the damn thing.
For sure, that
now Congress takes responsibility for the war. And they do.
Well, they,
if they don't have responsibility in making policy, they got to take responsibility for the results.
But we, and I've been guiltier than most. The two sons of bitches for whom I've done favors, Percy and Matthias,
and voted for. Agnew was saying he wasn't complaining about you, he was complaining about Matthias, but he said the thing that after Henry Kissinger went over there and spoke with that son of a bitch, that he would come back and vote against him. And Agnew says it's the most shocking thing he said.
I told this to Agnew myself when he called me.
He called you yesterday?
Yeah, he called me from the floor either before or after he had talked to you, and I said, how did Matthias vote?
Yeah.
He told me, I said, well, that's one, that's criminal.
Good.
Not one.
He told me that he was not blaming you, Henry.
No.
He gets pissed off.
I blame myself.
I am, aren't you?
One goddamn.
You've done also, you did Percy, let me remember.
No.
You've got Percy and Matthias. And when has either ever divorced? Percy fought on a judge, which we didn't need, as it turned out.
And when you got Percy, you can bet you don't need him. He's with you when most of the forecast of the future.
What is your, let me say this, that, you know, only God knows what's going to happen in the whole area of politics, but if we're not going to tell you anything, I've got staying up at night and doing a hell of a lot of things, believe me, you're going to see it. Because I have a feeling we would not be doing like I feel about the Israeli. feel that in the long run we're probably not doing it. And it, a disfavor due to the fact that I feel that the North Vietnamese are so badly hurt that the South Vietnamese are probably going to do fairly well. But also due to the fact that as I look at the tide of history out there, South Vietnam probably never been surviving. You've got to be, if we can get certain guarantees so that they aren't, you know, looking at the foreign policy process, though, you've got to be, we also have to realize, Henry, that winning an election is terribly important. It's terribly important this year. But can we have a viable foreign policy if a year from now, 2 years from now, North Vietnam gobbles up South Vietnam?
If a year or 2 years from now North Vietnam gobbles up South Vietnam, we can have a viable foreign policy. If it looks as if it's a result of South Vietnamese encounter, if we now sell out in such a way and say that in a 3 to 4 months period we have pushed Brent Pew over the brink, we ourselves, I think that is going to be, even the Chinese won't like that. I mean, they'll pay verbally if they like it. But it will worry everybody. And domestically, in the long run, it won't help us all that much because our opponents will say we should have done it 3 years ago. So we've got to find some formula that holds the thing together a year or two. After which, after a year, Mr. President, Vietnam will be a backwater. If we settle, let's say, this October, by January 74, no one will give a damn.
Yeah, having in mind the fact that, you know, as we all know, the analogy, comparison, Algeria is not on all fours. But on the other hand, nobody gives a goddamn about what happened to Algeria after they got out. Vietnam, I must say. Jesus, they fought so long, God. I don't know. The North must have its problems. They're not supermen. They're not supermen.
They have their problems. I would like, if I could tomorrow, Mr. President, to bring in more, and I would appreciate
it. I put it on the note here. I said, because I noticed in the news summary today, no flights over North Vietnam due to weather. Now, God damn it, they can't be that
bad. Well, there are two things. There are no flights, very few flights. Secondly, they hit very few fixed targets. They say armed recce. Armed recce, we don't know where they are. I think they're staying away from the sands. I think they don't want to lose any more planes. I think one of the hopes we've got is to smash them until they settle.
Can't you get into the day? I haven't my freer today. I have tomorrow. Or he's not coming over today.
Let's see, but if he's coming over this afternoon to an MPFR meeting, I could bring him in around 4.
4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Mr. President. Do you want to tell the
chaplain
marching out? The
operator's happy with him. Or do you want to wait until later?
Yeah.
Hello. Hello. You call me for Mr. Marsh. Hello. Yeah. Hey, how are you? Money side, there's no problem at all. That shouldn't be debated. transfer to what, to Brent? Yeah. But isn't that smart? Yeah. Right. Well, I'll tell you, Chuck, we have to keep one step away, but you can keep that to Chuck. In the meantime, I hope you can work very closely with John Conley, because he needs a strong right arm. Thank you.
that's right, Mr. President. Also, I think we are in a great position if we have to blow these negotiations, because we can say it the day after, I would say the first time, these bastards voted, the Democratic Congress voted, I know where it limits, the Republicans voted for them. The day after I get a...
We'll say the Congress.
The Congress.
Sure.
The day after I come back and report to you with the most comprehensive new piece also, they vote another one. So that we can use in September, but I'm not pessimistic. I think we have a chance of cracking this one. You see, if
we make any progress, Mr. President,
you make your trip slack on that, though.
See, if we make any progress by early September, if they want to settle by October, they have to put some meat into the other forums. As soon as these other forums talk about meeting things. You see, what I'm going to propose at the next meeting is that they can't have it both ways. They cannot pretend there's a sale and pretend that there's progress. If they want to settle by October, then at Kleber, at the plenaries, they should start discussing the content of the standstill ceasefire, conditional on the settlement of all other issues. They don't have to agree, they could make a condition. As soon as that happens, Mr. President, we're in a new ballgame. And they did not reject that. I proposed it this time, and they said, let's discuss it next time. But I showed these documents today, and you know how hardline he is. And he says this is the most comprehensive document you've ever had.
Look, we know we're doing the right thing.
But this is not the road. The Senate is going down a road that they don't want. See, I have absolute confidence that they'll never offer withdrawal of prisoners, never. This is, in effect, our proposal anyway.
Yeah.
That's the practical effect of our latest proposal.